all the way on the bottom, and we're looking at something that starts with Gufa, which I'll tell you where it is. If you count up from the bottom of the Amud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up, so you should see Gufa.
In the middle of the line.
Middle of the line.
Gufa, Amer, Amar.
Amar, right.
Rav Yehuda, okay.
Amar, Rav Yehuda. So let's just give a little bit of an introduction so we screw our heads on straight, you know, that we know what we're talking about. We're talking about Shemen Zayis, and Shemen Zayis, despite its significance, oil is a very significant item, but nevertheless, unlike wine or bread, which the Chazal established its own unique bracha, Shemen Zayis does not have a bracha unto itself. So what is the bracha on Shemen Zayis? So we know what it's not, but we don't know what it is. We know it's not a separate bracha. There's no such thing as bracha to Hashem al Kedem Hashek al Shemen Zayis. So what bracha do we make? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shemen Zayis Mevarchem Olav Borei Pri Ha'etz. Now you may say, well, that makes sense. I mean, it comes from a Zayis, it comes from an olive. An olive is surely Borei Pri Ha'etz, and therefore the oil should also be Borei Pri Ha'etz.
It's also one of the seven species.
But it's not at all simple. It shouldn't be taken for granted that you recite a Borei Pri Ha'etz on Shemen Zayis. Why? Because, let's say, for example, I have an orange, so I make a Borei Pri Ha'etz on the orange, but if I would squeeze the orange and take out its juice, its liquid, so the bracha on that, in that case, is Shahakol Nia Bidvaro. You know, we don't make a Borei Pri Ha'etz because we need a pri. The liquid inside a pri is not considered the pri itself. So what we're seeing here is a big chidush, that for some reason, we don't know why, the liquid that's removed from the zayis is still called a pri, and we can make the bracha Borei Pri Ha'etz on the liquid. But keep in mind there's another issue here, and that is whether you should make a bracha at all. Forget about which bracha is appropriate, but one could ask a more fundamental question: why are you making a bracha? We have a rule in brachos that on something that's mazik, that has a negative, let's say a detrimental effect on one's body, we don't make a bracha. If you were to take a cup of oil and drink it, I would hate to think what would happen. It's not good for you. So the Gemara asks, Hechi Dami, what's the case? If he takes olive oil and he pours it into a cup and he drinks it, as is, you know, pure, unadulterated olive oil, azuke mazikle, it is very, shall I say, dangerous to do such a thing. Now, you know, on Masechta Brachos, there's something called the Shita Mekubetzis, which is an anthology of Rishonim, and he has another pshat in this Gemara. He thinks that when a person drinks olive oil, he's mazik the oil itself. Because unless you get benefit from something, you're considered, you know, it's very interesting. There are different ways of destroying an object, of being mazik an object. You can take your hand, your fist, and just smash it to the ground. You can light a fire to it and light it to smoke. Or you can eat it or consume it. That's also another way of consuming and destroying the object, unless you get benefit. If you get benefit on it, then we call it achilo, we call it shesia. But if there's no hanah, there's no benefit whatsoever, then that's considered an act of mazik. You basically lit it up and it went into smoke. Okay. So Memela, the Gemara thinks that there should be no bracha at all if he drinks Shemen Zayis. Why? Because the Torah with regard to bracha says v'achalta v'savata uberachta. And the bracha comes after svia. Svia means that he was satiated by it. You know, it had some sort of beneficial impact on him. But in this case, where drinking oil, straight oil, would not be beneficial, then there's no uberachta here. There's no reason for a bracha. There's no obligation to recite a bracha on something that is not an achila. It's something that damages your body. This sanya, as we learned in a brisa. Now this brisa, let me give a little introduction, is addressing the case of truma, which can only be eaten by a kohen, and it was eaten accidentally by a non-kohen called a zar, and the Torah says in Vayikra Chav Beis that in such a case the Yisrael, the zar who ate truma b'shogeg, has to pay the kohen not only keren, meaning the market value of the truma, but he has to add another 20%, which is called a chomesh. That's a separate penalty that he has to pay. And this is based on the Torah. The Torah says, V'ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkoga, V'yasaf chamishoso olav v'nosan l'kohen. He's got to give an extra 20%. Okay. Hashoseh shemen shel truma, if the zar, the non-kohen, accidentally drank oil that was truma oil, correct? So let's say, for example, I have an orchard of an olive grove. That would be a good word. So I own an olive grove, and after my harvest, I have to give, let's say, 2% to the kohen. That's called truma. And now they took this 2% of olives, they crushed them, and they created oil. That oil is called shemen shel truma. And now a zar accidentally drank the shemen shel truma. So the Mishnah, the Brisa says, Mishalim es hakeren, v'eino mishalim es hachomesh. So the reason why he has to pay the keren is because of what's called dinei mazik. If I destroy your property, I have to compensate you for the market value of that object. If I destroy your truma, you're a kohen, and I destroyed your truma, I have to pay you for that truma. That's called keren. But to add another 20% on top, which is chomesh, that we don't say. Why? Because the Torah only added a chomesh, and again we go back to the pasuk, ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkoga v'yosef chamishoso. Yochal, the emphasis on the word yochal. Yochal means eating, but something that's damaging, it's mazik, that's not called eating. It's not included in the word ochel. So again, I have to pay you the keren because of any din of mazik, I destroyed your mamon. But I don't have to pay you the additional penalty of a chomesh because the Torah says achila, and this is not called achila. So if I would ask you, from the perspective of this price, so what bracha would you make on shemen zayis? And what would be your answer? No bracha at all. Why? Because it's not achila. Now, hasach shemen shel truma, if he takes the shemen shel truma and he smears it on his body, is then mishalim esaker and mishalim esachomesh, because that's considered a normal hana, that you take olive oil and you use it as a what's it called in English, a salve, and you smear it on your body. That's normal. That's called derech hana'asam. And if you benefit from the truma and your azar in a normal way, which is called derech hana'ah, then you pay an additional penalty of a chomesh. In any event, it's clear from this brisa that drinking oil is not called achila. And if that be the case, there's no justification for a bracha over oil. So how could Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan say that you make a bracha on oil? Ella, we're going to have to say that that's not what Rabbi Yudam and Shmuel had in mind, but rather to ka'achi le al yidei pas. He dips his bread into oil, into olive oil. So then he certainly gets benefit from the olive oil. He enjoys it. He's not mazik it. He's not just destroying it. And therefore he makes a bracha, bar priates. So the Gemara asks, if he dips his bread into oil, what bracha do you think he should make in that case without looking in the next line? If I'd ask you for your intuition, a man takes bread, dips it into his oil, and then he eats the oil saturated bread. What bracha do you think he should make? Hamotzi. Huh? So Gemara says this can't be
washed before.
Right, you have to wash and make hamotzi. The Gemara says ihachi. If that's the case that Shmuel is talking about, havile pas ikar vehu tofel. The pas is the main primary thing that he's eating. The shemen is only tofel. He's only dipping. You know, he's using the shemen as a dip. Utnan. We have a mishnah later on in daf mem dalid. Zaklal. What's the overriding principle in brachos? Kol shu ikar ve'imot felo. When you eat two things, one is ikar, one's the primary achila, and the other one is tfela, it's secondary, is mevarech ala ikar. He only makes one brach on the ikar. Ve'upoter es tfela. And therefore, the case where he dips his bread into oil, he'll make hamotzi lech min haaretz. There's no need to make a bracha on the oil. So we're in a very we're really stuck between a rock and a hard place. Why? Because we want to. Shmuel says you make a bar priyais on shemen zayis. If he's eating it straight, unadulterated shemen zayis, that's a mazik. We saw it in Truma. He doesn't pay chomesh, and therefore there'll be no bracha at all. And if on the other hand he dips his bread into the oil, then he makes hamotzi lechem min haaretz because that's the ikar, and it passes up to tofel. He doesn't make a brach on the oil. So in what scenario did Shmuel say that you recite a bari priya eitz on oil, on olive oil?
For medicinal purposes, for example, sometimes people will have olive oil if they don't have other things.
Excellent. What? I'm just curious to know what kind of So that's also going to be a problem because we don't make brachas on medicine either,
no.
Right? But in any event, what I'm just curious what you have in mind for what disease?
Because the Gemara, it's more like a therapeutic type of idea than a medicinal. So I would be
no. But I'm just wondering when you say medicinal, what are you talking about? I don't think it's going to help the intestines. We'll have to ask the GI guys.
Somebody, for example, in countries where they don't have anything else, you know, I know people who did this. Do it for example, traveling in some remote area.
Yeah.
They don't want to take anything that somebody gives them. They use olive oil because it's pure in one of these desert countries and so on. And the olive oil will help them, relieve them of constipation.
Oh, I see. So anyway, the Gemara has a slightly different case of a sore throat.
Yes.
The Gemara says the following: Ella dekashasi le'al yedei anigron. He's drinking the oil through a nigron. So let's just see what a nigron is. I'll give you the Hebrew translation of a nigron. Min machol sherigilim laseis lesocho shemen. So far it's a little bit ambiguous, but he says there's some sort of a foodstuff that you soak it in shemen and then you eat it. And what is the status of this anigron, this mixture of a food plus oil that's soaked in oil? The Omer Rabba Bar Shmuel anigron maya de silka,
like a sauce of some type.
He says mayim sheshulku bohen tardin. It sounds like he takes spinach and he cooks the spinach in water. And then something called ansigron. Mm-hmm. I don't have Steinsaltz, but this is probably all Greek. I'm convinced that these are Greek words. Anyway, ansigron is maya de kulu shloke. Okay, it's a general term for any soup, any water that you cooked vegetables in.
Even a sauce
is some type of food. Yeah, so the question is, what bracha do you make on this? So in other words, the Gemara is now assuming that in Shmuel's frame of reference, if you have two ingredients in this mixture, one of them is olive oil, then you make a bar priya eitz. So the Gemara rejects that also. Why? Im kein havile anigron ikar v'shemen tofel. So the anigron, whatever that yerek, whatever that vegetable might be, is primary, and the shemen is secondary. The snan, again, we go back to the same mishnah. Zaklal kol shu ikar v'imot tfeila is mevarach al ikar poter esat tfeila. So the Gemara answers, Hacha b'mayaskinon b'choshesh b'grono. He has some sort of throat ache, and his refuah, his therapeutic method is going to be what? To put shemen zayis into his throat. And therefore, if he mixes a lot of shemen into this anigron in such a way that the shemen becomes the ikar, because that's what's going to give him the therapy, is mevarich olah. Then he makes the bracha on the shemen, and Rabbi Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Yochanan say that he make the bracha bari priya eitz. Now, where do we find such a thing in the early sources, that if you mix lots of shemen together with a nigron, then it's good for the throat? The sign we learned in the Brisa, Achoshesh Begrono, this is another one of those Gemaras here in Brachos where the Gemara gives you diet, health hints, so to speak. Is a person has problems with his throat, Lo Ya'ar Enu B'Shemen Tchila B'Shabbos, he shouldn't go into Shabbos with this shemen into his mouth in order to gargle with the shemesh, with the shemen.
You were completely right, Rabbi, when you said it's a Greek word.
Yeah.
That's where it's wine mixed with oil.
Oh, okay.
And it's also like a wine vinegar into which it's apparently therapeutic.
Okay. So he's saying on Shabbos this is a problem. Why? Because we don't do refuah on Shabbos. Okay, that's a separate topic which we're not going to get into. I will no say shemen harbi l'toch ha'nigron u'bolea. Why? Because that's something that doesn't really look, it's not obvious to the spectator that it's doing it for the sake of refuah. He's doing it for the sake of refuah, and he adds a lot of shemen into this ha'nigron. By the way, if you have an English translation there, don't give it to me, but just ask. Yeah, good. How does he translate the word anigron? I'm just curious.
Anigron is translated as meaning wine mixed with oil. From the Greek anigron, meaning wine mixed with oil.
Oh, it's wine mixed with oil.
And it has a therapeutic purpose for it's a type of wine vinegar that apparently somehow is therapeutic.
But I don't understand. The Gemara says anigron is maya de silka. How does he translate maya de silka? That's not wine.
No. Here, take a look at this.
All right. I just thought I don't have time for this, but yeah. I'm just curious. Like, what does he have here for Maya de Silva? Let's just see if I can find it. He says, water in which a beet was boiled.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what it has to do with wine. And
I'm not quite sure where the beet comes into.
243. I still know which way you turn the page. Second, it's water. And I look. I lost it. Oh, I see. It's on the bottom of the page. Yeah. Water in which all boiled vegetables are. And nigron is primarily of oil. Is primary. Gee, it's too small for my eyes. Is that a 34?
And you have an explanation there on top,
you see? Oh. Just 1 second. What is this number?
Anigron you have right here.
Right. I'm just curious. He has a footnote here, I think. Number 34, is it? Can you see that
34,
number?
Yeah.
34. Is that on this page, or you have to go to the back?
I think you have to go to the back for that.
Oh, okay. So. All right, let's just go on. So the Gemara says, Pshita. The shemen is ikar, so I don't need. Ma'u detema kevan delerfuah kamachavin lo mevarchle klal kamash malon kevan the islay anavine boy bruche. So he needs a bracha. So it's interesting. No one raises my issue here that this is not a pre. I guess that's a different sugya that has to be discussed. That this is not a pre. Okay. Fine. Now what I want you to do, you see the pages that I photocopied for you, so there should be on the flip side of your page a page Chaf Vav. Do you have that? Are those photocopies?
Yes.
On the flip side.
I have Kaf Hei.
So if you flip it over, you soon see Kaf Vav.
Yes, I do.
Good.
Thank you.
So on the second line, he quotes from Kiveg. He says, Midivrei Rashi, from the words of Rashi, Shekosav, who says that Gabi Bracha, the Achaltoksi, because of Odesanya, the Lav Bar Achilahu, Mashma, the Mefaresh, the Shas Medame, Kihechi, the Mazik Lugufe, Eno Bechlal, Kiyochal Kodesh, Hochinami, Eno Bechlal, the Achalta, Uberachta. So if we want to know whether you make a brach on it, and we see the word v'achalta, we go to the parsha of Kodesh, right? Like Truma. And there also it says ki yochal. It's the same word, just a different conjugation of v'achalta. And just like in Kodesh, we say that a mazik, someone who eats something, in this case Truma, and he damages his body, so he's not included in this parsha, and if he doesn't pay chomesh, so too, by virtue of this equation, achila achila in brach, it says achalta, is if he eats it in this way, which is mazik his body, that does not constitute an achila. And then he says kashuli. I'm not feeling comfortable about this. Why? Because the Gemara says in Psachim that mashkim hayotzim mipri. Which means the following, that if you squeeze a fruit and remove its liquid, then that's called shalo kederach achilason. That's not the normal way you eat it. So let's say, for example, the first 3 years that the fruits grow on the tree is called what? Arla. So you're not allowed to eat it. What happens if I take the arla and I squeeze out the juice and I drink the juice, I have apple juice of arla? I'm not in violation of arla because the Torah says thou shalt not eat arla, but you're not eating it because this is not the normal way you eat an apple, by removing its juice. Azoy shteik, that's what it says in the Gemara in Pesach. Says Rabbi Kiveger, I'm a little bit confused. Why? Because if you drink any sort of fruit juice, you make a brach on the fruit juice. Let's say shakel, right? So we see that you can make a brach even if you're eating it shalo kederech. Why? Because we said that in the case of arla, you're not chayav for the juices because that's not kederech achilasa. So if it's not kederech achilasa, why are you making a bracha shahakal when you drink the juice? We must conclude that you can make a bracha and you're obligated to make a bracha even in a case of shalom kederech achilasa. So let's just underline those words. The af shalom kederech achilasa mevarech, we make a bracha al kolponim in any event. The kevan shekein ma parchinon hayeshlomer di ochel dora mazik lo avi mechlal shelo keder chachiloson ubetruma the boy keder chachiloson. Therefore, he's potur from the chomesh. Avol mikomakom bruchim varchinon aleik mo the varchin amei peros. The Gemara says it can't be that Shmuel was making a bracha on oil, because we saw that if your zar drinks the oil of truma, he doesn't pay chomesh because that's not called the normal achila. Right? When you drink oil, that's not called normal achila. Why is it not normal? Because it's mazik the goof. So call it shalom kederech achilason. But we still make a bracha. I mean, you want to tell me that Shmuel is wrong? The halach in truma is that a zar shachol truma shalom kederech achilasan is potter. And shemen zayis, because he drank it and it's mazik is goof, is shalom kederech achilasan. But that doesn't undermine the sheet of Shmuel, that Shmuel says you have to make a bracha before you drink the oil. Because what are you going to tell me? It's shalom kederech achilasan because it's mazik. But we saw that shalom kederech achilasan in general in juices, you still make a bracha on it even though it's shalom kederech achilasan. I would say, if it was up to me, the answer to Rabbi Kivega's question is the following. Why did Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel say Bari Priya Eitz, if he wants to say Shakal Nia Bidvaro, okay, there we have a proof that on juices you make a Shakal Nia Bidvaro. So you could say that even though he's damaging himself, and he's eating it in a way which is shalom kederach achilasan, you don't make a bracha borei priya eitz. You make a bracha of shakal niyavidvara. Shakal niyavidvara is always the fallback position if you're not eating something the normal way. So why does the Gemara, why does Rabbi Kivega think that the Gemara has no argument here against Shmuel, and Shmuel is justified by making a bracha even though it's shalom kedarko? Because in brachos in general we see that you make a bracha on shalom kedarko. Now what's the precedent, what's the source to prove that in brachos you make a bracha even when it's shalom kederach achilas? And it's going to be fruit juices. Yeah, but what bracha do we make on fruit juices? Do we make a bar priates? No, we make a shakal. So that's not going to help us for Shmuel, because Shmuel says that on olive oil you make a bar priates. That's what I would say. Vehine Bipsachim Dachov Dalit Omer Rabbi Yochanan Hidia Chelev Shal Sharan Niskal Agavi Makoso. So you have a Sharan Niskal, and the law is you're not allowed to have any Hanah from this Shar. And he takes the Chelev of the Shar, which is one part of the body of the Shar, and he puts it on his, for therapeutic purposes, he wipes it onto, or smears it onto his injury, into his how do you call it in English, a petza, not an injury, a wound. That was the word I wanted. Thank you. A wound. Why? Because lefisha kol yisur shvatorin lo kan aleim l'derech hana'asam. It's the normal way of using chelev is to roast it and eat it. We're not allowed to do that, but it's abnormal to take the chelev and use it as a medicine, as for therapeutic purposes. What, why is this a kasha? What is the Gemara's kasha here? You don't get malchus unless you do the kederach achilasan. Correct? So the question here is, afanana mitnina in sofnitz baruch zonal yotzim and azesim and avim milvah in tusim yimon alo mishum lo kachli derach achilasan. So far there's no cash.
Right.
No cash. He afanana mitnina. Meaning what Rabbi Yochanan says about Chelev, that you're not chayef for Chelev of Yisuri Ano when you put it on your makkah, because it's Eno Derech Hano'osam. So we found it in a brisa, because the brisa says you're not chayef for Orla on juices, because it's Shalok Derech Hano'osam. Amalei Abayi Bishleima Iyashme Inon Pri Gufa Deloka Achale Derech Hano'osam Shapir Elohach Mishuk Dezeh Mi Almahu. Habai says there's no comparison here. One thing has nothing to do with the other. You're comparing Boidim and Politzes, you know, day and night. Because the halacha of Arla in terms of fruit juices has nothing to do with Shalom Kederach Hana'asan. That's where you made a mistake. The reason why you're not chayav in Arla for drinking its juices is because of a principle called Zeya V'Alma. Let's underline that. Zeya V'Alma. It's not because of Shalom Kederach Hana'asan, but rather because it's Zeya V'Alma. Which means it's not really the pre. Behine lefimai demasik abai shein olokal ayotzim mitzaysim mitusim mitenim rimonim mishum dezeh v'almahu v'ein shein pri ala mashke. Im kein shuv ein tzorach lomar Shemavarech al meperos shahakol. Nei dahavi shalo kiderech kol odom nei she'eno pri levarech alea borei pri ha'etz. Just one second. Okay, fine. So we're saying that if the Shem Pri is gone, so you cannot recite the Bracha Bar Priya Eitz. But Lo Shayach Lo Mishalo Yivar Klal, we're not going to say that he doesn't make any Bracha. Mibnei Da'a Mishalo Kederech. Till it got made peros, Atzman, Mevrach Alem Shahakal. So Rabosa, here's where the twilight zone is. You know, here's where it gets a little bit confusing. On the one hand, we have a push to come to the conclusion that in Shalok Derech Achilasan we should make any bracha at all, right? Like we saw by Shemin Zayas that it's Mazik the Guf. But on the other hand, what we're seeing here in the Gemara Pesachim is in the case of fruit juices, which is Shalokiderech Hanaasam, he makes a brach of Shahakal. In other words, you're not going to tell me that when he drinks the fruit juices and he was Mafkir, the Shem Pri, therefore he doesn't make any brach at all. We're going to say he makes a brach of Shahakal. So that's what he says, Lo Shayach Loma Shalo Yivar Klal, Mishum Babi Shalokiderech. Dilagabi made peros atzman levarech alayu shahakol. Dehavi shdios and kinderech achila. Dilagabi made peros. He should make a shakol. Dehavi shdios and kinderech achilos. Aval heicha dahavi shalo kiderech yesh lomu de'enu mevarech klal. I think he's giving our answer. Let's see. Yossi shapin divrei Rashi. He's trying to protect Rashi and defend him against Rav Gevager. The afilu name of the heicha dahavi mazik is chashiv achila shalo kiderech and enu mevarech olav. After Lefima and the Svir Leila Rabbi Zeir, the Lo Havi Zeir Baal, the Lo Havi Zeir Baal Mel Havi Mechlal Pri El Shena Sofig El Es Harbon Neshe, the Klapi Gufa Pri Havi Le Shalom Kederech Achilasan, the Derech Lechol Gufa Pri Velo Le Softon Belishtol Zamashkin Ayotzevim, who we call the Kol Bevarchin Ale Shahakol, is Mizem Muchach. So just to summarize, and I think this is where we'll end, because I do want to do a little Sanhedrin today. So what we're saying is that Rabbi Kiveiga came to the conclusion that Shalok Kederach Achilasan, you should make a Shahako. And that's because we are going to assume that you do have a serious, significant achila over here, although it's not the derech achilasan. And in the case of mashkin ayotzim min haperos, there we have a different issue, and that's called zeah bi'alma. So it could be that in Shalom Kederech Achilasan, if that's the issue with Meperos, then he should be Mevarach Shahakol. Why? Because he's getting benefit from something, even if it's not a pri, but it comes under the general bracha of Shahakol. But in a case of Shalom Kederech Hana'asan, that no one would do that thing, you know, if in a normal situation no one would benefit from it, That would not require a bracha at all. So Rashi Nasugya is telling us that if we're going to say that the a Nigron, the Shemet Zayis, if he takes it pure, unadulterated, is a mazik, then you should not make a bracha at all. But if you want to quote Rabbi Zeira from the Gemara Pesachim, who says that the mashke is called Zeir the Alma, then it doesn't have a shame pri, and you wouldn't get malchus, let's say in the case of Arla, for the juices of Paris Arla. And now you're going to ask yourself the following question: if it's not derech achilasan, would you make a bracha on it? So that's where we have this discrepancy here, and that has to be clarified. We're leaving it now as a question. When do we say that the fruit juices are shalom kederech achilasan, and as a result, it could be that you shouldn't make a bracha at all? And when do we say that fruit juice is only a problem, not of shalom kederech achilasan, but rather a problem of Zeh of the Alma, which means Hafkar Shem Pri, and you should make a bracha of Shahak. Okay, so that's where we're leaving it now. So we seem to see a little ambiguity here, and we're going to try, Belineda, to clarify.
In a lazy way, it's what overtakes, or what is the overriding.
Right, which principle is overriding? Do we say, well, if it's shalok derech achilasan, and certainly in the case of mazik, you shouldn't make any bracha at all, because
right,
you're not considered benefiting hanah from it, or at what point do we say, no, you're getting hanah from it, you're not eating it in the most perfect way, you're not eating the original fruit, you've changed the fruit in such a way that you took out the liquids, and those liquids don't have the same status as the fruit, but nevertheless, it is considered kederech achilasan. Most people would love to have a good cold, you know, drink of strawberry juice, and you should make a bracha of shahakal. That's the point of ambiguity. At some point, we want to say that if it's really shalom kederech, then there's no bracha at all. And again, how much more so if it's damaging? And at another point, we're going to say, well, although maybe the perfect way of eating the fruit is to eat it whole, but there's another way of extracting the juice, and in that case we could at least lower the bracha from pri, because we can't say a pri if it's zeh ba'alma, but we make a bracha of shahak.
Right.
So when do we say, yeah, we need a bracha, it's going to be shahakal, we lower the bracha, and when do we say, no bracha at all? That's going to be the ambiguous question that we have to answer. We have to get the rules, when it's this and when it's that.
And that